Our scripture this morning is from the epistle, Acts. Acts 20, verses 7 through 12. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where they were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He is alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. Please stand with me. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Thank you very, very much. Thank you, choir. Beautiful, beautiful number this morning. It's good to see all of you. I hope your early morning was good. I know some of you got up at your regular 4 o'clock hour anyway, so it didn't matter whether we were having daylight savings time or not. The first service was uniquely interesting. Now, there aren't many of us here who were at the first service. They sort of staggered in just a wee bit. I had to talk extra loud, even more than I do at 11. And we had to feed them after the service. But they were a very congenial group. And it was fun. And they made my day complete. It was fun being here. And the snow was not falling at the time we arrived, but we had to do a little cleanup. And so here we are, and the sun is shining. Typical Colorado weather. Good to see you. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity of worship, this opportunity to be together as the body of Christ and to be open to your holy word and the mystery and majesty of its message for us today. As we gather in your name, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I just couldn't resist using a wonderful story by Will Willimon. He tells a story about the church being, and I quote, the church being a favorite quiescent location for sleeping. No, I mean, I think that's a wonderful quote. A favorite quiescent location for sleeping. For a few years, during the time that Bishop Willimon was dean of the chapel at Duke University, they broadcast all the services on a local cable channel. Now, we haven't reached that point yet in our development and growth, but it was exciting for him. He was excited about this extension of their ministry to the much larger community and reaching more people than they had ever reached before. So one Sunday, he did the thing that you never want to do if you're on TV. One Sunday, he ran home to see what was going on in the service. He would have been better just to have left it alone. He flipped on the television to see how they looked on TV. And he said, here I was preaching, and right behind me, I was horrified to see one of our sopranos bedded down, head thrown back, soprano mouth gaping open throughout my entire sermon. I understand his problem. And it's not just the sopranos. Bishop Willimon said, I complained to our music director. Well, he excused her sleeping with this comment. Look, she's a student. What do you expect? And then he adds, you talk about insult to injury. Sometimes it's hard for me to stay awake too. Yeah. Well, Amon responds in typical fashion. He says, look, she was dead to the world. This young lady brought a pillow with her, a stuffed teddy bear, and a duvet. It was an outrage. And he concludes his story by saying, she is no longer a member of the choir. That's a sad way to end the story. I understand his chagrin, though. I mean, church should be a place of celebration. If you want to sleep, do it at home. Awaken to a new life and a new future. But on the other hand, students will be students. I mean, they study hard all night long in between television programs and internet activities. I mean, so they're going to be tired. And adults will be adults. We have adults have learned how to handle this very, very appropriately by sitting there looking like maybe we're reading scripture. And at least have one eye open to it. We'll listen to half the sermon, every other word. Because adults are in the midst of busy, hectic schedules as well, and there's no doubt that this is a nice place to come and relax. But wait a minute. That's not all bad. This should be a place where you can come and unload and relax and feel at home and feel in the presence of Christ. And maybe for you, it's the first time during the week that you had the opportunity just not to do anything except wait on the Lord. That really isn't all bad. I very, very rarely get those opportunities. But I had one Friday evening when a number of us from TLUMC made our way to First Lutheran Church to be a part of the Gallery of Living Art, a sight and sound presentation of the Passion and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Taking the great works of art and then putting them up there with all the drama that only the humans could give to it. And then behind the scenes, the beautiful choir and orchestra playing as we just waited on the Lord and didn't have anywhere to go for an hour and 15 minutes. It was like heaven. They have one more program this afternoon at 3 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. We need those opportunities. Well, the story of the sleeping soprano is not unlike the story that Luke tells of a young man, Eutychus. Now, if you translate that into English, we would probably get the word fortunate, but I like the word lucky. This is a story about Lucky and some of his unlucky experiences. A guy who falls asleep while listening to Paul preach. I feel like I'm in good company. When returning from his third missionary journey, Paul arrives with Luke in Troas, an important port city near the ancient city of Troy. And at the end of his visit, we see Paul and the other Christians gathering on the first day of the week to celebrate perhaps a Eucharistic meal, a time to be together, a time for discussion, a time for preaching, a time for questions and answers with this new body in Christ. This may very well be one of the oldest descriptions of a Christian Sunday that we find anywhere in the New Testament. And we're reminded again with this story, because it doesn't seem to fit during the Lenten season, we're reminded though with this story that Sunday is Easter all over again every time we gather. And we've talked about that before. That the 40 days observance of Lent doesn't include Sundays. Now, I don't know if you've given up anything for Lent. My son, I think it was last year, he's in Korea this year at this point in time, hopefully be home by Easter, but he had a very, very sound plan for the whole Lenten season. He gave up coffee. Now, if you drink coffee, you know, giving up coffee is like sort of giving up your right hand, not my left one, because that's what I write with. But he said, Dad, I found out since, you know, every Sunday is not included in Lent, that meant that on Sundays I could drink coffee. You know, that is good thinking. He learned something over all of these years living with me. But Sunday is a day of celebration. It's a day to remember the resurrection. Paul, addressing the congregation on that particular day, was on a roll. There isn't any other way to say it. After all, his plans were to leave the first thing the next morning. He started preaching, and he kept on preaching. In fact, he preached until after midnight. Now, I hope you grasp this very closely. I'm very serious here. This is a suggestion to modern-day congregations not to get too concerned when the pastor is on a roll. Don't mess with him. Well, the room was well lighted. The candles were all in. Everyone was gathered. Eutychus was sitting up there at an open window. It may have been due to overcrowding. I don't know. It may have been due to all of the candles, the fumes. He needed a breath of fresh air. And it may be, heaven forbid, he wasn't even interested in what Paul was saying. So he sat up there on the ledge, waiting to see what was going to happen. And as Paul drones on, Eutychus falls asleep. Like our good soprano. And topples out of the window. Three stories to death below. Even the greeters and ushers couldn't rouse him. The ushers found the lifeless body at the bottom of the building. But Paul, you know, when you read the story, Paul, hearing about the incident, doesn't miss a beat. He hurries downstairs, resuscitates Lucky's lifeless body with a hug, hurries back to the crowd, serves the master's supper, continues talking and telling stories until daybreak, and then leaves town. It was a great Sunday for all concerned, including Lucky, who was luckier than he ever imagined. It is equally amazing that when you take a look at the church calendar, the liturgical calendar includes the scripture lesson for today. And we might say, what in the world are we getting at? They're talking about the raising of Lazarus during the Lenten season? I mean, it reads too much more like an Easter story than a Lenten story. Maybe this should come a couple of Sundays from now. But the truth still holds, as it did with Lucky, that every Sunday is a celebration of Easter, even during the Lenten season. But you see, that's also the way it is with Jesus. Every time Jesus shows up to a cemetery, the dead rise. That's the way it is with Jesus. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary play a wonderful role in Jesus' ministry and in this particular narrative. But of the three siblings in this story, Martha is the one who enters stage center. Upon hearing that he has come to Bethany, She goes out to meet Jesus to express her absolute faith in him. Though she initially misunderstands some of Jesus' promises about raising of Lazarus, she responds to a solid confession after Jesus says to her and says to us, "I am the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in me, though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe it? I love Martha's confession. It's one of the most beautiful in all of the New Testament. It's quite simple. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." "Mary, where did you put him? Where is Lazarus?" And Jesus weeps. Not too many passages you ever find in the scripture quite as moving as this one. Jesus wept. Wept. He weeps over the loss of a friend. He weeps because he knows if he had been present, Lazarus need not have died. He weeps at the anguish that he's caused Mary and Martha and the whole community, who are crying as well at the loss of one so near and dear. And he weeps at the tragedy of human condition and the perception of God's silence in moments of greatest need. The perception. You've been there, haven't you? Times of terrible loneliness. Times you were ready to go into surgery. Remember that feeling? As if you were the only person in the world when that happened? And he weeps that we ever have those feelings of being so totally lost and away from a God who loves us. "Mary, where did you put him?" And he was led to a simple cave in a hillside with a slab of stone against the opening. "I don't know if you want to go there, Jesus. He's been there for 4 days and he smells. I don't know if you want to go there. Remove the slab," the master said. "Do what? Remove the slab." You want to believe. You want to see the glory of God. Remove the slab. You're not going to like what you see or smell. Remove the slab. And the slab is removed. "Lazarus! Lazarus, come out of there!" And out he comes. A cadaver. Head to toe. I love this. Unbind him. Take all those burial cloths off of him. And let him go. You sense it, don't you? You sense it. The power of that. Unbind him. And let him go. See, this is indeed a very, very strange kind of Sunday, isn't it? It's a bit confusing for some of us. But it's a Sunday which reminds us that the resurrection is normal, ordinary business of the church. That's what we're about. It's the normal, ordinary, every week business of the church. It's resurrection. Take the stone away. Come on out. We are and we always will be a new life fellowship, a body of believers born out of and nurtured by what? An empty tomb. That's why we're here. And I reflected on this a little bit the other day as I was getting ready for today. And I had these comments. Sure, you know, we worship in a new building. And it's a beautiful one. Especially when the wind isn't blowing. But don't be deceived by plate glass windows and beautiful woodwork. Don't be deceived by scenic rooms where pictures are painted in magnificent ways. Don't be deceived by our large great room and our popular coffee shop. This could be a cathedral. And up on the balcony is the great tier of pipes and a remarkable organ. This could be a cave with nothing but cold around us. This could be a hut or a living room. But you see what it is more than any of these things. This is a place where the sleepy-eyed and the depressed and the lonely and the hurting and the addicted and the lost and the sick are jolted and rocked and loved and shocked and, yes, resurrected every Sunday. That's why we're here. It's not this building at all. Okay. We were just reading scripture. We were just singing a hymn. Well, we were just having a baptism, or the anthem was just completed and the choir returned to their seats. Or perhaps we were just breaking bread or dipping it in the cup. Or maybe we were holding hands at the dismissal. And in a fleeting moment, some of us never noticed, in a fleeting moment, someone's eyes are opened. Someone's heart begins beating as it never beat before. Someone's burial claws are unbound and someone's tomb is empty. And the someone may be you or you. It happens here every first day of the week. Don't miss it. It's what we're all about. Oh, by the way, I do want to tell you, before we get away from here today, that it's not too early to reserve your front row seats for Easter. Some may have, you know, the advantage. The tickets are all free. And next week begins Holy Week. But I want to tell you, if you want to experience the resurrection, you can come here any Sunday about this time. Amen.